Merry Christmas, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Listen to your personal message from God in Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quintilius was governor of Syria. And everyone who went there to... This is a bad morning. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to him to be married and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them.
I want to welcome you again. I'm so thankful everyone has come out on this Christmas Eve to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what the great gift that he has given to us. And I have a gift to give to you tonight. I'm going to let you vote. We're in a democratic society. So I have two sermons. I thought so. 10-minute, 45. Who votes for the 10-minute? I've got some emails to Santa.com tonight. You know, it used to be letters to Santa. I remember writing them myself. Now it's emails. In a few years, we're probably going to be doing tweets to Santa and whatever comes after that. Society is changing so fast, I cannot keep up with it. I'm sure you're having the same problems. Got to have my water. These are from children age 4 to 11. I'm not going to give you all the ages, just let you guess on them. Dear Santa, I'm sorry, but I don't have a chimney. I'll leave the cat flap unlocked for you, but please watch out for the litter box. Dear Santa, do you have any elves that help, or elves that sit on the sofa all day long? Dear Santa, Mom and Daddy says I have not been very good these past few days. How bad can I be before I lose my presence? Some of the adults in my congregation have been asking the same questions. Dear Santa, did you really run over Grandma? Dear Santa, please don't bring me any new clothes again. Kids don't want clothes for Christmas. Dear Santa, I'm sorry for putting that X-Lax in your milk last Christmas. Dad was really mad. The exact reason I don't have children. And the last one, a little more serious. Dear Santa, do you know Jesus is the real reason for the season? Not to be mean, but he is. Roseanne, age 11. Roseanne is right, of course. Jesus is the real reason for the season, and we forget it sometimes. We get lost in all the other advertisements and everything that is going on. A few years ago, Roberta was browsing through a local flea market when she came upon an antique Christmas manger scene. The price was just too good for her to comprehend, and she had to have it. And she questioned her owner about it. Was it the correct price? Because she didn't believe it was the correct price. And she wanted to give the right amount for it. She didn't want to steal anything. said, you can have it for a dollar. It's all there except for Jesus. No wonder the price was so low. Do you want a Christmas manger scene without Jesus in it? Is it really a manger scene at all without Jesus? That's the centerpiece, the most important part. And suddenly, Roberta realized that she was just like that Christmas manger. She was going through the process. She was going through the steps, but she was leaving Jesus out of Christmas in her own life. She was doing all the activities, baking cookies, buying presents, putting up lights, but she was leaving Jesus out of Christmas. I think that says it all. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why we come about Christmas with so much eagerness, so much anticipation, that wondrous story that the shepherds out in the fields that special night keeping watch over their flocks, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." Good news that will cause great joy for all the people, not just some people, but for all the peoples of the earth. Today is the day that David, a Savior, has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great host of appeared with angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom on favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby there lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child, who had heard and amazed what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured, it says, all these things and pondered them in her heart. Someone has called it the greatest story ever told. And have you ever heard a better story than it? When they laid the first transatlantic cable across the beds from the Atlantic Ocean, they wondered what words should be remembered in history that were said. Finally, they chose those words spoken by the angel. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Christmas, my friends, began in the heart of God. It didn't just accidentally happen. It was a purposeful event. Love came down at Christmas, wrote the poet, and it's true, God's love came down in the manger of Bethlehem. Christmas began in the heart of God. The time-honored story, I think I've used it before, about a grandfather who was babysitting his 4-year-old grandson. And a horrific thunderstorm came up, the kind that I grew up with in the South, and we had the old windows. When a storm came up, they would literally shake and rattle. And my sister literally would go hide under the bed. It terrified her so much. And this little boy, he yelled down to his grandfather that he was afraid. And his grandfather yelled back upstairs, "Don't be afraid. God is with you." And the little boy yells back down to his grandfather, "Yeah, but I want somebody with flesh on them." And isn't that what God did? He sent into our world his son Jesus with flesh and bones, that we could identify with him, that we could relate to him and understand him and his suffering. The Word became flesh. What a wonderful thing to have happened. That's why Christmas brings out the best in all of us. The New Testament teaches us that the very nature of God is love. In the glow of Christmas, we know ourselves to be loved, and we are led by that love to, in return, pass that love on to others. You receive love, and then you give love back. The Bible says we love because God first loved us. So you don't have to wait for another human being to love you. God has already loved you, so you give that love to someone else. And if you start giving that love away, someone else is going to love you back in return. That's just the way that it works. Christmas began in the heart of God. And Christmas is all about hope. It was no accident that Christmas comes at the darkest time of the year. We don't know the date when Jesus was actually born. So when the date was set for Christmas, it was set to symbolize the words of Isaiah, that the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Christmas represents hope, and there's no finer symbol of hope than the birth of a child. As Carl Sandburg wrote, a baby is God's opinion that life should go on. In his autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom, Nelson Mandela, and you know his story, and you know how long he suffered for his freedom and the freedom of his people. He tells about the impact that a baby had on his life. Mandela had been a political prisoner for 14 years and doing hard labor in this time in a rock quarry on the infamous Robben Island in South Africa. However, in 1978, his second youngest daughter married a prince, a true prince in Africa. She was immediately granted diplomatic privileges, and she could visit Mandela, her father, virtually at will, something she had not been allowed to do up until this time. This was amazingly good news for Mandela. For just about his entire imprisonment, he had been cut off from his entire family, from his children. He had not seen them. That winter after they were married, the young couple came to see Mandela along with their newborn baby daughter. Because of his son-in-law's status as a prince, Mandela and his family were allowed to meet in the consulting room, not the normal visiting area where one is separated from one's family by thick walls and glass. So this was something he was not used to being able to do. And Mandela reports that he waited for his daughter and her family with a sense of nervous and intrepidation, actually. And it was a truly wondrous moment when she came into the room and she took that baby and she handed it, almost threw it to her husband, the prince, and she ran to her father that she had not seen. And she threw her arms around him. Now what you have to understand here, he had not seen her since she was a baby. Now she is an adult woman with her own baby. He's not laid eyes on her. Can you imagine that? It's like some kind of science fiction movie, some kind of time warp. Not seen her since a baby, and all of a sudden she's running towards him, throwing her arms around him. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Little music to go with it. Finally, his son-in-law handed Mandela his tiny granddaughter. Mandela said he didn't let go of that grandson the rest of the time that were there. He said to hold that newborn baby so vulnerable and soft in his rough hands, and he was used to holding shovels and picks and that hard labor that he had been subjected to for so long. It brought him such a profound joy. He says that in his mind, no man had ever been happier holding a baby in their life than he was at that very moment. The visit, however, had a more official purpose to it. In their culture, the grandfather names the baby. So it was often an awesome responsibility for him. You can imagine all the things going through his mind. So he chose a name, and I'll probably tear this name up. Zaziwe. If you know how to pronounce it, tell me after the service. Zaziwe, which means hope. Name had special meaning for Mandela because during all that time in prison, hope never left him, and he said, now hope never would. He was convinced that this child would be a part of a new generation for South Africans who would, apartheid would be a distant memory, and they could go on into a new dream. A baby named Hope. Jesus could have been named Hope, but he represented man's most profound hope. Instead, he was named Jesus, Deliverer, Savior. And Isaiah gave him other names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Christmas comes from the heart of God because Christmas is all about hope. And this is to say that Christmas is the best news that the world could ever receive. An angel had the privilege of announcing the news to the shepherds. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. What a powerful message. And history was certainly being shaped as Mary held that newborn baby in her arms. Maybe she didn't understand the significance of it all. And not only the history of the world, but your history, and my history, and your grandchildren's history, and all the people that are born after them to come are touched by that baby born in Bethlehem. So tonight, let us give a profound thanks and have a sense of gratitude for what has happened. Because Christmas comes from the heart of God. Christmas is about hope, and Christmas is the best news that the world will ever receive. What a difference a baby makes. Amen.